Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody out there in listener land. This is Coach Penn, and welcome to my show, Third and Long. Got a pretty packed show for you tonight. Split evenly three ways between women's football, pro football, and college football. So we're going to cover a lot of football and all the different areas. Pro football starts tomorrow night for those of you who are interested in the pro games. We'll get into that. I picked a few choice games. And we'll go over that. I actually have a guest host on tonight. She'll hop in right as the pro football start. Talk starts and all that fun stuff. Right now, I'd like to apologize for actually football being on while the show's going on. I picked Wednesday nights for the main reason that football rarely falls on Wednesday nights. And right now, on ESPN2, high school football is on. And it's live. And it's Modern Day versus Carson at the Long Beach City College Veteran Memorial Stadium. And it's funny because that was my home stadium for, I don't know, 5 of the 7 years I've been coaching. So that's just amazing. Oh, BJ's out. She said she's going to leave the show and go watch the game. See, I've already messed with one of my few listeners. I'd like to welcome Pops out there and Chopper, who are resident weekly listeners. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope I have some stuff to say. Remember, everybody, hop in the chat room, talk it up with some of the fans and coaches that actually listen in on a weekly basis. The chat available square is over in the right-hand corner when you log on to the WFB Talk Continues site. If you have something to say, you can easily just call in, hop in the chat room, give me a question, and then the zip code or the area code you're actually calling from, the number is 347-826-7278. So once again, I apologize for having the show on a Wednesday night when football's on TV. Those of you not watching TV, I thank you for being with me. And let's go over some of the things that's happened in women's football over the past week. Off season, it's very, very slow and not a lot of big news. Luckily, as soon as the season started, actually before the season ended, there was a team switching leagues and new teams being created. So we had a lot of news in the first 3 weeks after the season ended, but now it's kind of just like nothing's going on. Checked all the websites. One of the cool things going on is that the Keystone Assault of the NWFA, the new team that's competing with the Central PA Vipers in the NWFL, their website is up and running, and they have announced their tryout dates, September 14th, 20th, and 27th. So right around the road, right around the corner, all the tryouts are going on. And they will be on Sunday show with the WFB Talk ladies. So tune in on Sunday, 3 o'clock PST. That's Pacific Standard Time for all you East Coast people out there. All you Easterns out there, thank you for listening to my show. I know it's late over there. Chicago Forest actually made an appearance at a purpose-driven sports benefit. They put on a lot of mini clinics for the kids with throwing, passing, you know, running, a couple drills, stuff like that. So that's cool to see one of the teams out there in the community spreading the word about women's football and their team. Local support is huge. I encourage all the teams to kind of get together with your local associations and build your fan base through your community. I mean, we're in a huge community here in Long Beach. It's basically a megapolis of Orange County, Long Beach, L.A., and the Valley, and in the desert. You know, there's several million people that all live in this area. I mean, Long Beach alone has like 500,000 people in it. So just start small and build big, and then when you're big, you say, hey, remember all the small people? Got us there? Houston Energy, I'm very disappointed with you. You have still not updated your website. Is this a sign of things to come? Because Dallas joined the league. They updated their website and everything, but they never changed their jerseys. They actually had the WPFL logo on their jersey still. That was kind of disappointing to see them in the championship game, each with a kind of duct tape or, you know, black tape and white tape over the WPFL logo. I mean, congratulations to winning, but hey, come on. The big news this week was it Friday or Saturday? What was the 29th? 29th, whatever that was, Seattle and Sacramento finally finished up the 2008 season. No more practices for any team out there. They had a little exhibition game at Quest Field. I listened to parts of it. It was very windy, and it's Seattle, and the way the stadium is funneled, it's supposed to be that way because it's the 12th man with the fans in the stands and the way that it's shaped off the, I'm not sure if that's a canal or inlet or whatever. It's very, very windy, and it was very windy listening to Lisa Tavares, but it was still cool, and they got to play in front of some NFL fans, so that's good publicity for women's football. So now that every team is done with all of the 2008 practices, and we can finally say, sayonara to 2008, I'd like to congratulate everybody on making it through this season. It was very long for me. We worked very hard to become a playoff team again, and though we didn't get the respect from all the teams for making it that far, I'm still very proud of my team and the work they put in, and everybody that we played. Puget Sound, yes, I think that is it, Chopper. I'd have to ask my Seattle friend. I always have a place to stay when I go up there, so... once again, remember, you're listening to Third Along with Coach Penn. Hop in the chat room, chat it up with some of the people in the rooms. So let's begin focusing on the 2009 season. The 2009 season is basically starting already. We've got teams joining, switching leagues, creating new teams. So you don't really get to prepare for those new teams, but you can finally get a good... guess would be who's going to be in your division. Not much it seems to be changing this year. So you can start preparing and, based on how you did last year, know what you have to do better, what you have to try harder at, and what you probably can continue succeeding at based on what you completed last year. Usually I have in my show a Where Are They Now segment. Well, the Where Are They Now segment actually will be a co-host today when I pop into the pro football, college football section. So we'll bring that up later, so don't think I left the weekly reoccurring Where Are They Now segment out. That will be happening, but later. So let's talk about what needs to happen in this offseason. I mentioned wanting to have a bunch of coaches on to find out when they start their workouts, how much they train, all that fun stuff. But because it's Labor Day weekend, I was unable to contact a bunch of coaches, so I'm going to save that for a later show. But I can tell you this. The California Quake will be having their first team meeting this Saturday. So our season's already starting. Now, we're not starting practices or anything like that, but some of the things we are looking to discuss at this meeting are basically the schedule for what we are doing this offseason, how we're going to basically take away all the money stresses during the season. In the preseason, we're going to try and get a lot of fundraisers scheduled, which management, I believe, already has a punch scheduled, but they're going to get them out to the team so they know about them, can make plans around them, and basically everybody be there because it's so important to have everybody at these events. It's different when you have, you know, 10, 15 players out of 30 or 35 and two coaches out of 8. So, I mean, it's very important that you have full or as much representation as you can so that you can hit different personalities with all the distinct personalities on your team. Chopper had a question on the message board about what's going on with the BJ out there is talking about a day at the beach. Because after the meeting, we're actually having a beach party just to kind of, hey, you know, the season's over. Let's celebrate the beginning of the new season. That'll be pretty cool, and we'll actually have a good time with that. Everybody kind of relaxed. It's a chilled atmosphere, so... Yes, my neighbor's walking up, so hold on 1 second.
I was just told. Thank you very much.
Yes, we actually had a break in a couple of houses down, and all the neighbors, I live in a really nice neighborhood, and everybody's pretty friendly, so they were coming over. Like I said, most shows I do this out on the porch, so I can watch everybody walk by and wave and, you know, just kind of be part of the neighborhood. Well, we had a break in a couple of houses down, so all the neighbors are coming up, making sure everybody knows. Nothing really happened, and the funny thing is they broke into an LAPD officer's house, so that's probably not going to turn out too good for them. At least I hope it doesn't, but, yeah, so back on, we're having a party after the beach, and a party after the meeting at the beach, and it should be fun. So, also some other things we're going to discuss. We're going to have workouts. I'm going to create workout sheets for the players. So, based on what position they want to try at next year, you know, veterans come back, and they have a good feeling for where they think they fit on the team and where they think they can most help. So we'll put them into some workouts. Say, hey, listen, if you can't make specific team workouts, here's some stuff that you can do on your own. I have a bunch of sheets prepared for different positions. And then, of course, you have the rookies, the people that are just kind of testing and feeling out what the team's about and if they want to join the team. They're just excited to learn about women's football. Last year when we had our meeting, it was towards the end of October, I think, we had a big difference in that meeting, though, is because we changed management. The team was sold to one of the players, and it was just a big hullabaloo because it was so much. Well, this year we have management entering their second year and are trying to correct a bunch of mistakes, which I encourage all management to do. Learn from what your players like. For those of you who have players that are disgruntled or, you know, a lot of negativity or sour attitudes on the team, talk to them. And, you know, if you don't feel that they're comfortable enough talking to you about the truth, do some anonymous surveys, you know. Just say, hey, listen, everybody, I created a little survey thing on the web. It's anonymous. Boom. Believe me, you will get some definite feedback there. Our management did that, and it wasn't totally anonymous. And our management apologized for that, but she got some really good feedback, and management now knows what they kind of have to keep up with and improve on to sustain the roster that is needed to compete with the Chicago's, the Dallas's, and the upper echelon of teams. Because you do need a lot of stuff to get a championship team built. Let's see. Workouts, I've covered that. Clinics. Reminder, Coach Duncan will be on next Wednesday. We're going to talk about I'm not sure if it's a clinic, but basically his football camp on a weekend in, was it October 10th and 11th, I believe it is. I'll get more dates confirming that later, but he's having a clinic, a women's football camp where, you know, there's going to be lots of drills and stuff like that. So we actually did that last year, and we're going to continue to do it this year. We're actually going to have probably 3 or 4 clinics where players can come out, learn different positions of football, because a lot of the people who've played these past 1 or 2 or 5 or 7 years have played one position, and that's all they know. One of the things we like to do at our clinics is teach everybody the basics of every position in a classroom-type setting, and then we rotate it to the field where we have different coaches running different positions, and everybody spends 15, 20 minutes learning the basics of each position. And then they rotate. So, I mean, I have centers learning what the quarterback does, and I have linebackers learning what the running backs do. So it's pretty cool, and we started it last year, and we look to continue it this year. And so it won't just be for the veterans. Rookies can learn, and then when they try out for the team, they can say, hey, listen, I really like this one, or I think I'll fit here best. You know, that's always cool. And, of course, the most important thing we'll probably discuss is tryouts, because that's when everybody knows that, hey, season is officially starting. So tryouts, I believe we're doing one in November, December, and January. At least three tryouts. We might add in one more, but I'm pretty sure it's just 3 for right now. So without further ado, I want to welcome my Where Are They Now guest host. She has 6-7 years experience. Go ahead and unmute yourself. She has 6 years experience playing, 3+ at least, of coaching. So it's pretty cool to have her next to me right now. And those of you on the web board, let me know if you, yes, there is echoing, so maybe. Well, that won't be fun. We both are, she's on a wireless, and I'm have my headset, of course, and we're all both sitting on the couch. She's going to see if she can go inside real quick, and the echo will go away. Yeah, she's going to be over there. Okay, yeah, it's gone. So, welcome, Stephanie Neros. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm just here. I'm not cold. You are, though, so congratulations. You're welcome for the sweater, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
So, first of all, introduce yourself to those of you who don't know, for those out there who don't know who you are. You know, your background, what position you play, what teams you've been associated with.
I started playing in the year 2000, where I picked up and relocated to Daytona Beach, Florida, to play with the Daytona Beach Barracudas, which actually went defunct at the end of that season, and I picked up and moved back to Los Angeles, where I played with the California Quake their inaugural year. after which I played with the Long Beach Aftershocks for two or three seasons. And then during my last season with the Aftershock, I became a coach, and then I've been coaching with the California Quake for the last three seasons. I played defensive back, more specifically free safety, but I was used at cornerback quite often, and I coached the DBs, and I was defensive coordinator last season with the California Quake.
Well, there's a very thorough introduction, and welcome to Third Long with Coach Penn. I want to throw some other tidbits out there. She is a Texas native and very big on Texas football. That's one of the reasons I brought her in towards the middle/rest of the show, because she's going to be talking about pro and college football with me, because she's such a huge football fan, being a Texas native. She's a Longhorn, so all you people that are Longhorn fans, or maybe A&M fans, you know, that have problems, or maybe there's an Oklahoma fan out there, God forbid. But let's just say she's a diehard Longhorn, and we had a nice party when the Longhorns beat USC, because neither one of us are USC fans out here. I will say that her favorite pro football team is the Dallas Cowboys, and when she blew out her knee in 2005?
Yeah, 2005.
2005, she was in Texas Stadium playing the Dallas Diamonds when she blew her knee out. So if you're going to go, you got to go with style. And that's, you can't really do much better than that when you grew up in Texas watching the Cowboys play and then get injured and actually happen in Texas Stadium. So that's pretty cool. Oh, Gustafi's mom played for the Sooners. Jeez, I can't ever get things right when I'm dealing with her. So, Stephanie, Papa Fox, the owner of the Clarksville Fox, he actually has a question for you. Was Legs or Nicole on the team, and did they play with you in Daytona?
Who?
Legs? Legs or Nicole?
Legs. Legs sounds familiar. Nicole does not.
Well, there's your answer. You never know. You probably need a little bit more description there to get that one answered.
What position?
Yeah, Pop, if you have a position, let us know, and we'll get back to you on that one. So, right now, she's going to help me kind of veer into the pro football, which starts tomorrow night. Sonia Legs, that's what's her name, Sonia Legs. Nope, doesn't ring a bell. So, as for, she was a running back.
I played defense. I'm sorry. I was all about defense my rookie year, so.
Well, Nicole was the QB, and they called her Nikki.
We only had two quarterbacks, and that was Shauna and Gus.
Well, there you go. Maybe it was different years, different teams. So there's those questions and answers. And like I said, anybody that has some things to say or feel like they want to call in and throw in their input and aren't shy on the internet radio, because thousands of people are listening, you can hop in the chat available room. It's to the right, green little box is chat available. And then we also have the phone number which you can call in, and that is 347-826-7278. Please hop in the chat room first, because then you can throw out your three digits, your area code, and ask your question, and then when we pop you in, we know what you're talking about. So on to the NFL schedule. I tried to pick games that actually mean something or have an underlying story. So Stephanie was like, oh, so I have to do research on these now? And I was like, well, I had to, so you should too. We'll start off, just because opening night is tomorrow night, September 4th, which is my 32nd birthday. I'm an old man now. I think that's official. Not a married old man, so I'm different from all you other old men out there. But we got Washington at the defending Super Bowl champion Giants. So that should be a good game. What is your impression of it, Stephanie?
Well, I'm actually kind of curious to see how Eli Manning comes back from winning the Super Bowl, because he hasn't seemed too sharp during the preseason.
Well, I'm not so much concerned with the Giants, because I think it was very lucky for them to make not only make it to the Super Bowl, but they had to play the perfect game to beat the Patriots, and they basically did. They came in with a perfect game plan. I'm anxious to see Washington because they have a new coach, and this will be Jason Campbell's, third or fourth different offense in as many years. So I'm kind of excited to see that and see how – I've always been a Jason Campbell fan. I was very impressed with him in Auburn and thought he was very, very – underrated as a QB, so I'm anxious to see that one. Thank you for the birthday wishes, Chopper and Grisafi's mom, Virgo. Yes, Virgos are cool.
Well, I know it won't be for a while, but I'm kind of excited to see Cope Brennan take the field, to be honest.
Yeah, he had a great preseason game. I was really impressed with him during the preseason, so I know he won't see the field until Jason Campbell and whoever else is behind him gets hurt. So let's move on to an actual game that means something. Jacksonville, Tennessee. It's a division game where Jacksonville has been runner-up to Indy for, four or five years now. So what do you feel about that there, Stephanie?
Well, I think Vince Young has a lot of pressure on him because he's entering into his third year and he hasn't really been very productive. But a lot of that also has to do with the fact that he doesn't have a lot of weapons around him. So I'm hoping that this will be his year. As far as Jacksonville, they're kind of, emotionally going to be tested because of what happened to their teammate yesterday, I believe it was, or last night, or the night before. And so, I think it'll be a good game to watch.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be a very good game. This is Vince Young's make it or take it year, I guess you could say. And it's funny because at the thing with him and Leinart when they came out of the draft together and which one was better and who would you take? Well, Leinart's not even starting and Vince Young is, so I guess they got that one right. At least, he has an excuse. He doesn't have anybody around him. Yes, he has a sidearm throwing motion, but it worked in college. I mean, the difference from the pros to college is always the speed. You ask anybody, it's always the speed. It's not the size, it's the speed. So I think Jacksonville will probably win this game, even though it's at Tennessee, and I think it's going to be a very good game to watch because both these teams are very good on the defensive level, but I think with Jones-Drew and Taylor, and not a real big Garrard fan, but he's actually, pretty good. I mean, he surprised me. When they dropped Leftwich and made him the starter, he actually surprised me and did very good, so I'm anxious to see that one. Next, I want to go with Carolina and San Diego. It's at San Diego, and we got the nim-witted idiot, Sean Merriman, who obviously stopped doing drugs, and now he's hurt. And he's like, hey, I'm going to ask four doctors what they think, and they're all going to tell me the same thing. And you know what? I don't care. I'm going to play. So based on that, I'm done venting on that one. You go ahead and take it, Stephanie.
I'm really not interested in seeing this game too much. I know Steve Smith's not playing, which means Dwayne Jarrett's going to have to step up. And LT, from what I've seen in the last couple of seasons, and him not taking preseason snaps, he's always gotten a slow start in the regular season. So, I don't think it'll be a too exciting game.
Well, I'm kind of – the reason I highlighted it is because of Merriman, obviously, and he's got a story to him right now. But – Carolina, a lot of people are picking Carolina to wake up this year. So I'm wondering if they're going to live up to the hype yet again. They made it to that one championship game, and just after losing that, they've kind of been falling short of expectations. So
that's Jake Delhomme can't stay healthy.
Yeah, exactly, and against the San Diego defense, who is one of the most athletic, pressure-filled defenses out there when Merriman is healthy and on steroids. So let's see. Chicago at Indy. This is, I believe, the Sunday night game. Chicago at Indy. You've got defense versus offense, and the offense hasn't played in, 7 months. So what do you think over there?
Well. The forever Orton versus Grossman will never die. That's one thing. Peyton, I heard up until today he wasn't going to play, but as of today he's been scheduled to start. And for the first time ever without a preseason pass. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that. I mean, I know in women's football, when we have a preseason game, it's very important to get everybody some reps, right, Coach?
Yeah. We
want to get everybody in the game and make sure, because we don't have four preseason games to get everything tested and going and all that fun stuff. So it's, you know, when we have that chance, we want to get everybody out here. And the NFL people, they've been doing it for so long, it's second nature, but come on. It's, you need to get some reps. You can't just go out there cold turkey, especially when UPS truck is going by. Especially when they're coming off an injury. You want to get some reps. I understand some stuff about that.
Not to mention they're on a new field this season.
I forgot about their new stadium, yeah. So that'll be intriguing. I think I might actually watch that game now. Lucas Oil Stadium, that's what it's called. So, okay, Pops has a question for you. Did you play against the Stingrays?
Florida Stingrays, I do not believe, were in existence the first 2,000 years.
Yeah, they weren't. They came
they
in
not,
the next
they,
year.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She didn't play against them, and I know that the Northern Ice did one year, but I can't remember the names of who the quarterback was and everything like that, because we actually, when we were both part of the Aftershock, we actually lost in the Northern Ice with like 2 seconds left in the game for the AFC Conference Championship or something like that, and Florida had to travel to Wisconsin to play for the championship game and got just murdered. So we never played the Stingrays at all because, you know, we're California and they're Florida, and that rarely happens. The only time that's ever happened was the first championship game when the Dixie Blues and Quake played. That was the first one that was truly bi-coastal competing.
Well, I think he was asking about the Daytona Beach team, and I don't think Florida
but
was.
But they didn't exist.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't exist. I was pretty sure about that, too. Okay, so let's go to Monday night's game. Minnesota at Green Bay. This has all kinds of story to it. Take it away.
Well, all I have to say is Adrian Peterson and the sophomore jinx. You think he'll be as successful this season as he was last?
Truthfully, I want to believe that he can, because I love the way he represents what a football player is on the field. He's very humble. He doesn't really overly celebrate. And he runs hard all the time. So I am pretty excited to see him. I just don't want to see him get injured because of all the beating and banging he did. I could see him having a Jim Brown type-ish career because of all the hard running. It's just going to be cut short, you know, 8 to 10 years down the road. I mean, I just hope we get to see, you know, 80% to 90% of his potential fulfilled this year because he's just so good.
Not to jump ship from this game, but I had heard Emmitt Smith and Tony Dorsett say the same thing about Marion Barber.
Yeah, well, I think Marion Barber's been in the league a little bit too long now to actually be a superstar threat. I mean, I always wanted to just. I kind of, it's bad to say, but I kind of wish Julius Jones would have got hurt. Or Julius, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Julius Jones would have got hurt because Marion Barber was such a better runner. I mean, it was just pathetic for me to see them play Julius Jones all the time when they had Marion Barber because he's so much more versatile. But, you know, hey, that's a QB, that's a quarterback's preference and a coach's, you know, decision. So there we go. I mean, I think Marion Barber is going to be very good for the Cowboys this year. As for the Minnesota Green Bay game, what about Aaron Rodgers? All the hype. Do you think he's going to get it?
Aaron Rodgers is going to get hurt early in the season. He always gets hurt.
And who's their backup?
I don't.
Exactly. Nobody knows. It ain't Brett Favre, so. So, I have the last game I saved for that exact reason, Brett Favre. Brett Favre and the New York Jets go to Miami. So, what about that? I have to stand off to the side because I'm a Miami fan, and anything I say will be totally unbiased. So, Stephanie, you're going to have to take this whole game. I just wanted to bring it out there because Brett Favre has to travel to Miami and start.
Well, aside from the Cowboys-Browns game, this actually is probably the one game I want to see more than anything because of Brett Favre playing for the New York Jets and going to play against Chad Pennington in Miami. You know, I'm a Brett Favre fan, and you know, I was kind of disheartened when Green Bay decided to let him go and chose Aaron Rodgers. So it's exciting. I expect an exciting season. I expect the New York Jets to make the playoffs, and it'll be because of Brett Favre. I think he's one of the best catches in the NFL at 38. And, you know, he's what I think Josh told me a couple of weeks ago. He's older than his head coach. That was quite funny. But I think it's going to be a very good game, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And I'm going to be sitting next to Josh watching Miami lose, unfortunately. He's not going to be too happy about that one.
Well, you know, I'm used to Miami losing. Remember, didn't I go through it last year? I think I threw a party when they won.
So. What better quarterback to lose to?
Miami?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, whatever.
But you got Ricky Williams back.
Woohoo! And we got him next year, too, because they signed an extension on him. But, you know, whatever. I think the Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams combination is really going to help the game. It's just they don't have anybody to block for him. I mean, their offensive line is just too young. So I think they're still a couple years away, and that should hopefully give Chad Henne, since John Beck is obviously gone. I mean, he might still be there, but he's not there, if you know what I mean. So just an update for everybody. The modern-day Carson game is 20-20 at halftime, so obviously it's a good game. Barkley, the USC commit, is throwing the rock all around the place. I'm not sure how many interceptions, but I plan to watch it as soon as it goes off. I was actually at the Long Beach Poly Modern Day playoff game 2 years ago where Long Beach Poly just dominated them defensively. I think the final score was like 2-0 or something like that, and Poly went on to win the championship game in the CIF, so that was pretty cool to be there for that. But now on to my favorite sport. What's up?
I have a question. Did you hear about Tatum Bell and Rudy Johnson?
Yes, Tatum Bell stole all of Rudy Johnson's luggage because he thought it was somebody's he knew. And then he dropped him off at a girl's house who he hadn't talked to in 7 years and just called her and said, "Hey, I'm dropping your luggage off at your place," and then just left it there. And they have it on videotape, so what an idiot. But he's it's like nothing like throwing a temper tantrum. These grown men getting paid millions, they're just grown men, aren't they?
So drama is not just with women's football, is it?
No, it's not with women's football. It's actually just more accepted in women's football, I guess.
Or expected.
I guess that's a, yeah, better word. All right, so let's go into college football. And the first thing I got to say about college football is what happened to the ACC. Oh, my God. The class of the ACC, I think, is official. I am a big Florida State fan. They just happen to be in the ACC, so I, by default, become an ACC advocator. And here I can't. So the class of the ACC is official. They are by far the worst BCS team, BCS league there is. So, hold on, pause. Grisafi was asking Chopper about the girl who got banned for playing high school football. First of all, she joined a team in Georgia, a private school. The coach let her join the team. She made the tryouts, and she made the team. The actual school board of governors said that she could not play. They told her straight out that you cannot play because you are a girl. Actually quoted that. That was like a direct quote. They said that she could not play because she was a girl. It is a private school. It is a business. So they can run it however they want. However much we disagree with it, and sexist or ability to play, whatever, it's a private school. If there's a problem with it because it's just not right. But I think that's just absurd if she can play. I mean, she was only a kicker, but still, they said no because she is a girl and it's a private school and they can do whatever the heck they want. So I believe that it will be a big problem. And if she was so good being recruited by other schools, high schools, why didn't she go there? I understand that, you know, she probably wanted to go to this school more, but she probably should have done a little bit more research before having her hopes built up and then crushed like that. It wasn't right by the school to do that or to lead her on in those ways. And it was just a very bad and sore subject for me because I am all for women playing men's sports if they want and can compete. So they're not going to do a lawsuit. They're just going to appeal the board's ruling, and I'm sure if they get enough publicity, they'll win, which is good. It wasn't the high school organization. I believe it was the board of directors for the school or something like that. I think the way it was worded was incorrect or misquoted. But Let's go see. Back on the college football, more upsetting, the collapse of the ACC. So we had number 9th ranked Clemson playing Alabama, Virginia Tech playing Eastern Carolina, and then Virginia looking to prove itself versus USC. Well, all they proved is that they suck. Virginia Tech had no offense, and now Frank Beamer is removing the red shirt from Tyrod Taylor. He will play this week, so fun for them. And just those three teams losing isn't really, you know, the collapse of the ACC. We also have UNC, which is North Carolina. Butch Davis, who's everybody's talking so good about, he's the savior of UNC. He's going to take him back to where, what was that? Which the Texas Mac Brown took him? He's going to take them back to where they were. Maryland and BC, they all pulled out squeakers against supposed overmatched opponents. I mean, barely winning. Maryland barely beat an FCS or Division I AA team by like a touchdown. It was just pathetic. Delaware, yeah. It was just horrible. And then we have our Duke and Wake Forest, who TGIF. Thank God for Duke and Wake Forest. And yes, I'm talking about football. Can you actually believe that anybody reviewing college football would talk about the ACC and thank Duke and Wake Forest for being good? That's just unheard of. So kind of amazed by that one, but thank you. Florida State starts this season, so I'm kind of happy, or this week, so I'm kind of glad that they'll be able to show what they're made of or not made of. I have high hopes, let's just say that.
Did you hear they decided on a starting quarterback?
No, they actually set their whole roster except for quarterbacks.
Well, today Christian Ponder was announced.
That does not surprise me, because the way they've been skirting the issue of naming one, I was kind of expecting Ponder to probably get it. I knew Richardson wasn't going to get it, but I was between Weatherford and Ponder, and I don't know. We'll see what Ponder does. He's still more of a prototypical quarterback, but he has a little bit more scrambling ability. Weatherford does give us the experience, and I'm sure all three of them will play against Western Carolina, or they should. If we have another UNC Maryland BC thing, I might just have to cancel all my season plans to go travel to all the games. So let's go to the upsets. The upsets were big and all across the board this week, and I don't exactly remember what I said last week, so let's roll some sound bites of what I said would be the upset of the week last week. UCLA plays on Monday here in L.A. Well, it's not really L.A., it's Timbuktu, North L.A., so against Tennessee. Tennessee's 18th ranked, so the Volunteers got to do exactly what Hawaii and USC did, travel all the way across country to play somebody. I think Tennessee is one of the most overrated SEC teams. They play good defense, their offense is okay. I don't see where everything's coming from them. I don't see the, you know, I don't think they're that good. I think with the slick Rick over there at UCLA, I think that UCLA really has a chance to upset them. A lot of people say that it's going to take, you know, him a couple of years, but UCLA has been good. I know they're working on their 24th string quarterback because all of the injuries in the preseason and summer, but if they can put a quarterback under center who can manage the game, their defense is good enough. And Tennessee, I don't think, is that powerful, and I hate the Pac-10 and everybody in the Pac-10. I think they're the most overrated league there is next to the Big Ten because all they have is USC, but I think Tennessee it really has a chance to get upset. That's my upset of the week. So, yes, I actually called the upset of the week. UCLA beat Tennessee in overtime, and it was a horrible game. UCLA quarterback, who, I mean, he has a perfect last name for leading upsets and all that fun stuff. Kraft is his name, so they said he was crafty enough, and all. It was just so easy for sports writers out there on a Tuesday morning. So let's just say that he had 4 interceptions by halftime, and Neuheisel turned around and said, well, I have a starting receiver who can play quarterback. I guess I'll just leave him in. It can't do much worse. And he didn't do much work. He actually had a very good second half, and he said, I guarantee you this is what Neuheisel said. He said, if you throw another pass longer than 15 yards, I'm going to kill you. And the rest of the game, he threw passes that were, I think, no longer than 8 yards. He had one pass on 3rd and 9 that was caught right at the line, and then he had that long seam route that all he had in his mind was, don't throw anything over 15 yards, and it was like a 18-yard pass. He threw it 15 yards. Unfortunately, if he would have thrown it 18 yards, it would have been a touchdown, but It was a fun game to watch the second half. The first half was just horrible, and I don't know what's up with Fulmer because he takes so much talent and then just wastes it. He's going to have to start coaching Florida State, I think. You know, if you're going to take that much talent and waste it, then, you know, you need to be somewhere where they expect that, and they're used to it. You can't do that at an SEC school and expect to stay around. So, Stephanie, what upsets do we have? Was Michigan and Utah an upset to you?
I would say so. But at the same time, you know, I think Rodriguez, right? That's his name?
Yeah, that's him.
I don't know. It's his first game at a bigger school. I didn't really catch too much college football this weekend. As you know, I was on the road.
Yes, you were.
So I didn't catch. I caught a few highlights, and when I heard Michigan lost, I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, I wasn't, and I don't even think Mr. Coach Rodriguez was surprised. He said after his first practice in the spring, he's like, it's going to be a rough year. I mean, he has the wrong personnel in there for his spread-type offense, and they couldn't get the ball downfield at all. Nothing was fluid on the field, and they were lucky to make it look as close as it was because Utah really outplayed them, and Michigan just stayed in the game. They stayed there with the chance to win, and I think that's what he's going to have to do this year, stay close with the chance to win. This week he has an easy gig against Miami of Ohio, so he'll get his first win under his belt this week. So congratulations on that win. So, I disagree with you there. I don't say they don't have the type of talent to run that offense. They have talent. They just don't have the type that it takes to run that type of offense. They're big and slow meat grinders, and they run the ball down the throats. And so they were just surprisingly okay. Yeah. The other upset was Clemson losing to Alabama. Alabama looks good. Wow. I think they're very underrated, and I expect Alabama to do some great things this year if they can keep their head on their shoulders. That impressed me a lot. East Carolina beating Virginia Tech. Very well-played game by East Carolina, and they beat Virginia Tech at their own game. Coaches out there listening, players, special teams is so important. Skip Holtz worked very hard this offseason on improving his special teams. He had a veteran crew coming back on offense and defense with leaders, and he worked very hard on special teams, and it proved in that game. They blocked a punt at the end of the game, running in for a touchdown to take the lead with a couple minutes left, and that was freaking awesome. Louisville obviously doesn't have a team anymore. They went from BCS bound to 6-6 last year to I can't even score a touchdown against Kentucky, who lost everybody. Kentucky lost all of their main starters on offense, including quarterback, running back, and receivers, and Louisville, supposedly Craigenthorpe, or whatever his name is, Steve Craigenthorpe, I think it is, just is trying to change the mantra there and be disciplined, but those kids, he's going to have to wait till the kids he recruited to become there, because it's right now they're not executing the game plan at all. It's just sloppy, sloppy play. UCLA, of course, was the other upset. So I want to commend these teams, even though they pulled up upsets and the teams that were upset lost, I want to commend them for actually playing somebody who matters. Because all these pay-to-play games is a joke. The 12th game the NCAA added for basically revenue. I mean, it's all about money. They added that in there so that teams could make more money. Well, what is happening is the BCS teams are paying non-BCS teams to play us. Say, hey, listen, we'll give you $600,000 or name your price, and come play us. We'll slap you silly and send you on home. How's that sound? And they're like, well, that sounds great as long as nobody gets hurt. Oh, we'll take it easy on you. Don't worry. And here's another $100,000 just in case. So I just think it's a joke. They need to get rid of the 12th game or make people play people in their own division. Yes, Chattanooga, Oklahoma was a joke. Idaho versus, who was it? Scored 70 on them. I can't remember, but it was just blah. There was just so many of those games. And guess what? They continue this week. So even if we knocked them down to 10 games, they'd still be playing cupcakes. So let's get into this week's preview. I think Stephanie, you have some more to say about this week's previews, right?
I'll add what I can.
Okay. Well, first game we want to cover is Cincinnati, Oklahoma. Cincinnati dominated Miami of Ohio, and Oklahoma obviously, you know, just killed Chattanooga. So that's the first game I want to go into. This is not really an upset alert. I have a couple of those games. I don't have my upset of the week because there's really nothing that if one team over one or the other, it wouldn't really be that much of an upset or because the teams are evenly matched and there's, you know, some rivalry in it. But like South Carolina Vanderbilt, I think that could really go either way. So I'm not really sure that – you know, I could really call that an upset. I mean, I know South Carolina looked really good against NC State, but it was NC State. And, yes, they are playing Vanderbilt, but come on. I mean, Vanderbilt is not – ever since Jay Cutler left, they have been better than what they thought – or what they than what they play, I guess you could say. Yes, my Noles do play Chattanooga next week. That is another game of theirs I'm not going to. I don't want to waste $300 plus on an airplane ticket to watch that game. I'll watch it on my ESPN game plan. Thank you very much. So the Cincinnati-Oklahoma game, I kind of want to see if Cincinnati can hang around for a while. That's the only reason I mentioned that game, because they're at Oklahoma, it's not that far of a distance, and Cincinnati does have an okay team, so I'm kind of interested in that one. Let's go to the next one. Let's skip that one. That one's for later. Stanford at Arizona State for all you Pac-10 fans. Stanford managed to hang on in a very sloppily played game against Oregon State. Now they get to go to Arizona State, who really doesn't have a great defense, but they have a potent offense under Dennis Erickson. And Erickson, I think, is a very good coach. He's going to try and live up to his name. So what do you think about that one there, Stephanie?
Well, you know, Stanford has an okay team. I think the difference with that is that Jim Harbaugh has a way of convincing his players that they can beat anyone. So when they go on when they take the field, they know they can win. And that's why they're able to hang around as much. Arizona State, you know, has a lot to show to Stanford. I think Stanford will fight and scrape and try to stay stay in the game, but Arizona State will pull out the win.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I would love to see Stanford just wreck another person's season like they did USC last year. And Arizona State is one of those teams that just underachieves. So.
You never know. You know, that might be the upset of the week.
Very good. It's not on my upset alert. I think Alabama needs to be on upset alert because Tulane has been practicing for this game all year, and then Alabama's coming off a huge win at home, and Tulane is basically offset because of Hurricane Gustav. So it's just, you know, how many emotions are going to be in there for that game. Oregon State, who lost to Stanford last week, and Penn State. This is an intriguing game for me just because Oregon State, you know, played really well against Stanford, and yes, they were two sloppily matched teams, but now they have to travel to Penn State, who just came off a really easy win. You know, Oregon State's more battle-tested, so that game stuck out to me for that reason. Then we have the ACC redemption game. Mississippi, Ole Miss, for those of you on the East Coast, versus Wake Forest. Wake Forest is the pride of the ACC right now. Can they keep it up? What do you think over there?
I think that you said Ole Miss, right?
Yeah, Ole Miss.
Well, I mean, again, you got the hurricane situation going on over there. Emotions running high. I don't know what to expect of that game.
Yeah, I'm thinking that Wake Forest needs to romp on that one. That's an ABC game for all you fellows out there, the fellows and ladies out there. I'm going to be watching. It'll be on ABC, and it should be a pretty good game for the first half, I think. I think the emotions are going to be on the side of Mississippi State, and Wake Forest can weather the storm, so to speak. It should be their game to win. Another ACC battle, Georgia Tech versus Boston College. Georgia Tech and that damn wing T that won't die is still being run by the coach over there. I can't remember his name right now. So, Johnson, I think his name, came from Army, I believe, but Boston College had a horrible game last weekend, and Georgia Tech just dominated their opponents, so I'm anxious to see that game. That'll be on my game plan. Florida State opens up against Western Carolina, so I'm excited to see that one. That'll be on my game plan as well, so woohoo, I get to watch my Noles play. And lastly, I want to cover Miami at Florida. Now, I'm a Florida boy. And a Florida State, you know, alum, so I hate both of these teams, and I have no value in any of them. If maybe both teams could have multiple injuries that last throughout the season, I would be happy. But instead, but since that's not going to happen, I am going to go and say that it's going to be a very good game. You know, Florida is a very good team that absolutely didn't have to show anything last week. I think Tebow threw 14 passes last week and had one touchdown for 130 yards total, I think. I was just like, wow, did you guys play anything longer than a quarter, and how much did you try? Did you use your left arm? So, Miami, on the other hand, they had a lot of questions, and they basically played everybody in their game, and they just walloped in total domination from beginning to end. So it's very intriguing to me to watch Miami, because Miami and Florida are huge rivals, and usually when you hear huge rivals, you think they play every year and there's a lot of bad blood. Well, guess what? These teams never play each other. I think the last time was 2003, and before that was 85.
2004, actually.
2004? Okay, I knew it was somewhere back then, and I'm just going off the top of my head, but I know the year before, the last time before that was like 85, and the reason they didn't play from 85 till 2004 is because of the bad blood. And so I'm excited to see this game because I want to see the intensity. Florida, to me, you got Texas and you got Florida. Those are the two states where the best high school football is played and carried on to college. And there's a big thing on ESPN right now about which state has the best high school football. And Texas, Florida, California, Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. Sorry if I forget the states that, you know, else were on there. But there was 8 states, and, I mean, it's between Texas and Florida. Those two states have the best athletes year in and year out, and it's two different types of athletes. So I think it's pretty cool. And when Miami and Florida, Florida, Florida State, and Miami, Florida State play, it's always a great game because the Grisoffi's mom has a question about if they don't play, how come there's so much bad blood? Well, I think it was because it had something to do with the coaches. Schnellenberger and, what was his name? He's the offensive coordinator for Penn State, Galen Hall. First of all, they didn't get along, so I'm sure there was the recruiting stuff. But then somebody did a favor for the other one by scheduling them on to basically build their team back up, and the 80s were good too. Miami and Florida was not very good. So I think Miami actually scheduled Florida as a favor, and then Florida actually beat them. So it caused a lot of bitter hate in there. So somebody was drinking a lot of Haterade, and it happened. So that's my big game, and I am not going to go out on a limb and say Miami will upset Florida, but if Miami can stick around, sort of like UCLA did, they have a chance at the end of the game. And that's all you can ask for is a chance. Is, you know what? Give me a chance, and I will out-coach you. Urban Meyer's a great coach, but I have a lot of faith in Randy Shannon. He is a defensive coach, and I believe the defensive minds do usually have the advantage when it comes to games because they are just more prepared, and they just focus so much on the game and what it takes to win because defense wins championships. And I'm a big fan of all the teams with defensive coordinators or past. Yeah, it was not Spurrier's fault. Somebody commented that it was Spurrier's fault. Spurrier didn't come around to the 90s, so, and then he's the coach that could never beat Florida State. So,
well, another interesting twist to this game is that Miami's quarterback broke a lot of the passing records of Tim Tebow's high school passing records.
Do you know the other story about that?
No.
There will be 3 former football man of America, football man of Florida. I can't remember how they word it. The number one football player in the state of Florida. There will be 3 of them in that game. 2 of them are quarterbacks for Miami, and both of them broke, Tim Tebow's record, and then somebody else from, I think it was Plant, broke their records, all in 1 year. So that was pretty cool. And yes, I do know I only have 6 minutes remaining because I am wrapping up. That was the last game. That was the big hoorah that I had to end on. Miami and Florida. You know, I just think it's going to be a good game, and it's on ESPN. My paper cut off, so I don't know if it's on ESPN 1 or 2. I know it's not on the Ocho. So don't check the Ocho, and if you do have the Ocho, make sure you send me an email at headcoach@californiaquakefootball.com because I want to know how you have the Ocho and I don't. I paid way too much for my cable to not have that. What's up?
Did you hear Chad Johnson change his name?
Yes, Chad Johnson changed his name to I'm a Complete Moron. I believe that's the full pronunciation of it, right? I'm not sure. But, yeah, he changed his name to Ocho Cinco, which, for those of you who aren't bilingual or live in Southern California, that's 85. So it's not the actual 85, it's just 8. Actually, his name is Chad 85. That's his name. So, yeah. Congratulations to all you people out there that are idiots. For those, for along the lines of name changes, my little sister, she's a little girly girl, not really big into sports. She played volleyball in high school, and now she's in the military, somebody's secretary, that's for sure. And her name is Heather. I'm not going to give out her last name because I don't need you people stalking her or Googling her. But she changed her name to Dakota Love. I thought one right away. She didn't change it legally. She just said, you know, I'm trying to change my image. And, you know, she bought a new car. She did her hair different. Now she changed her name from Heather to Dakota. And I'm like, what are you, Hannah Montana? And my other sister, A-Train, she was like, is she a porn star now? Do we need to be worried? I was like, that didn't even cross my mind. I hope not. Jeez, I need to call her. So I called her today, and hopefully she'll call me back. But that was a fun note to end on, don't you think? Don't forget, next week, everybody, we're going to have Coach Duncan on, talking about his football camp, and we're going to have a couple surprise guests. I'm still working on them, haven't got them confirmed yet, but next week should be filled with Coach Duncan's camp, and then I'm going to hopefully have two players on talking about their seasons and what can we do. BJ, of course, you can call me. You have my number. It's not like it's late. It's only 8 o'clock here. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Grisafi's mom, Chopper, Pops, all of you in the chat room, thanks for chatting it up and giving me something to some questions to answer. I want to say thank you to Ms. Neros over there for being my Where Are They Now co-host today. And hopefully I'll have you back again. I know you don't like to talk much or loud, but thank you very much for being on the show tonight. So one of the complaints from all of our players is that we can't hear you, Coach. She speaks with such a soft voice and is very well spoken. So, Chopper may have an announcement. I'm not sure if it'll be there, but everybody look forward for that. Check the leak boards and the message boards and all that fun stuff. And I believe there was something about a documentary put out there, and it was on a team that I actually was part of, and Spider was part of too. So, thanks for the birthday wishes. I'm going to stay out of trouble. I know my girl wants to take me out to dinner. That should be fun. I get to choose anything off the menu and charge her. Yes. It's one of the benefits of having a birthday, right? I don't have to pick up the tab. No, but everybody, thanks for listening. Once again, I'm Coach Ken, joined by Stephanie Neros this evening. Good night, and I'll talk to you next week.